He was a phenomenal architect and intellectual, Jan Blažej Santini Eichel, usually known just as Santini, lived in the 17th and early 18th century. Born to an Italian father and Czech mother in Prague, he left a legacy of great churches and non-sacral buildings around the Czech Republic. Vít Pohanka visited one of them, the Pilgrimage Church of St. John of Nepomuk.
Imagine you are standing on a small treeless hill surrounded by the picturesque countryside of the Bohemian Moravian highlands. Coniferous forests embrace a mosaic of fields and meadows dotted with small lakes and villages. And in front of you there is a unique church, the likes of which cannot be found anywhere else. It combines Baroque and Gothic elements. The architect, Jan Blažej Santini, clearly worked without any respect for the traditions concerning the shapes of religious buildings, but not from some rebellious or reckless impulses. He created something not just unique, but also beautifully and deeply spiritual. No wonder UNESCO decided without hesitation to add this church to the World Heritage List back in 1994. But who was this architect who so masterfully combined different styles to complement the surrounding landscape? I called Stanislav Růžička, chairman of the Czech Santini Society.
Santini se narodil 3. roku 1677 do rodiny, tedy původně italského kanadského.
Jan Blažej Santini Eichel was born on the 3rd of February in the year 1677. His mother was Czech and his father was an Italian stonemason. Santini was the firstborn son of the family. He was also, unfortunately, physically disabled. We know from the historical records that he suffered from lameness, walked with a limp, and possibly also had a hunchback. But we do not know that for sure. What we do know is that Santini described himself as being lame in his writings. That explains why he did not pursue stonemasonry as his father and grandfather did before him. Stonemasonry was a physically demanding profession, but in those days it also belonged among the most prestigious jobs in construction.
Despite his physical handicap, the architect must have been a young man of enormous spiritual energy and vitality.
Když to vezmeme, že Santinimu v roce 17 bylo teprve 23 roku.
It is quite extraordinary how quickly Santini was able to build up his reputation. He was only 23 in the year 1700 when he returned from a long journey around Italy, where he came to know the most important individuals and buildings of Roman Baroque architecture. In the years following, many historic Catholic orders of the Czech lands commissioned him to rebuild and renovate their monasteries. He received many offers for his work and was in a position where he was able to choose whom to work for. In the end, he dedicated his time to the most prominent monasteries in the land, Zbraslav, Sedlec, and his third major work, Štar. Santini shared a profound friendship with the abbot, Vejmluva. They were both very intelligent and educated, so they always had something to talk about. The abbot kept Santini busy with one job after the other, wanting to take full advantage of the architect's talents. So, in addition to the construction of the large convent church, Santini was also commissioned to build a skull-shaped cemetery and a wide range of farm buildings close to the Štar monastery. His work in the area culminated in the year 1719, when he was tasked with his most important work, which was the pilgrimage church of St. John of Nepomuk.
Santini, as already mentioned, was well-traveled and was based in the capital Prague. In fact, he bought two houses in what is now Nerudova Street, very close to the Prague castle, where he also did some work. So what or who attracted him to the distant provinces in the Bohemian Moravian highlands? In his days, it must have been at least one full day of travel from his home.
Musíme si uvědomit, že opak Václav Vejmluva jako představitel starého středověkého kláštera cisterciáku v Žáru nad Sázavou.
First, we should establish some facts about the abbot Wenceslas Vejmluva, the head of the Cistercian monastery in Žďár nad Sázavou. The monastery, located on the border of Moravia and Bohemia, was one of the most significant institutions of its kind. Vejmluva was a very intelligent and capable man. Today we would call him an effective manager. And, like his colleagues from different monasteries in the 18th century, he was searching for a capable architect who would be able to revitalize the Žďár monastery from an architectonic and economic standpoint. The man that was to successfully take on this task was none other than Jan Blažej Santini.
Jan Blažej Santini Eichel byl pražským rodákem a pocházel z původně tedy čítalské kamenské rodiny.
Today we consider Santini a thoroughly Czech architect and historical figure, despite his Italian roots. Santini began his apprenticeship as a builder in Prague around the year 1700. One of his most significant jobs was the reconstruction of the Zbraslav Monastery, which was, in its time, quite an important institution. After that, he set out to his next big assignment, which was to rebuild the Sedlec Abbey in the town of Sedlec near Kutná Hora. The local abbot, Jindřich Snopek, who was nearly 75 years old at the time, saw Santini as a very promising young architect. It was Snopek who recommended Santini to Wenceslas Vejmluva in 1706. Vejmluva didn't hesitate and sent a carriage for the young builder, who arrived in Žďár for the first time in the autumn of 1706.
Stanislav Růžička points out that the relatively young architect was able to understand what religious and spiritual leaders like Abbot Vejmluva wanted for their monasteries. In other words, he was able to read his client's mind.
Byl velice vzdělaný. My víme, že Santini sám mluvil a psal česky, německy, italsky, pravděpodobně i latinsky.
Santini was very educated. He was able to speak and write in Czech, German, Italian, and probably also in Latin, as that was the language that he used to jot notes in his architectural plans. At the same time, he mastered what is today known as the field of descriptive geometry. The fact is that his buildings are extremely complicated. The level of imagination and skill that must have been required for their planning is indeed extraordinary. Also, the complicated floor plans of his buildings indicate that he must have been educated in fields that we would today call esoteric. He made use of the esoteric method of the Kabbalah, which is the reading of transmission of Old Testament truths through numeric and geometric symbols. Santini was indeed a multifaceted artist and an intellectual in the true sense of the word.
Santini, by the way, married the daughter of his teacher Christian Schroeder, named Veronika Elizabeth. The marriage produced four children, but only one of them survived childhood. When his first wife died, he married again and had two more children. At the same time, he worked incredibly hard, and not just on the religious buildings. He designed also two inns near Žďár nad Sázavou.
Když si uvědomíme zpátky, že Santini žil do roku 1723.
From when he started his career in the year 1700 until when he died in 1723, Santini finished over 100 projects, averaging 4 completed buildings each year. In other words, he worked extremely hard. He had to oversee the work and be present at every construction site because, as the architect, he was fully responsible for putting his plans into action. Even his smaller buildings, if they can even be described as small, were all very original and imposing.
posledním období svého života, kolem toho roku 1720 až 23, měl Santini rozestavěno, protože ty stavby...
During the last part of his life, in the years between 1720 and 1723, about 30 of Santini's buildings were in the process of construction. He was working on big projects in Moravia, like the monastery in Reichrad and a pilgrimage church in Krstini, while also having to oversee large works on the other side of the country in Plassey near Pilsen and in Kladruby on the Bohemian-German border. The construction sites in Bohemia and Moravia, located about 400 kilometers away from each other, all required his supervision, and we know that he visited each one at least 2 to 3 times a year. Not being able to ride a horse because of his disability, Santini traveled by carriage, and it is reasonable to assume that he spent most of the journey productively, dedicating his time to drawing up new plans.
As mentioned at the beginning, the architectural masterpiece by Santini, the Pilgrimage Church of St. John of Nepomuk, combines Baroque and Gothic styles. There was a deeper meaning in this unusual combination.
Doba baroka, kdy se začínají vracet po něch třeskutých náboženských dlouhotrvajících válkách.
The Baroque period represented a return to traditional values and stability after decades of tumult and brutal religious wars. The historic religious orders sought to return to the stable days of the rule of Charles IV, the father of the nation, which was the most prosperous era in Czech history. The orders themselves were first created during that era and in the years preceding it, during the rule of the Przemysild and Luxembourg dynasties. So there was a real desire amongst the orders to return to those prosperous days. That was to be achieved by combining Baroque and Gothic architecture. Gothic architecture, in its essence, is best symbolized by the pointed arch. If you look at the windows of Zelená Hora, you can see that they are pointed arch windows, and the pointed arch was, at that point in the Baroque period, a total historicism and completely passé. It isn't just the windows either. The placement of the church, the form of the cathedral, and each attribute of the building has its purpose and is symbolic of the history and period in which the building was constructed. Because of the way it was built, Zelená Hora affects not only how we look at the town of Zdar, but also how the church looks out at the landscape. And that is symbolic of the more than 750 years of history that the monastery and church share with us here in Zdar.
Stanislav Růžička, chairman of the Czech Santini Society. It is no exaggeration to say that Jan Blažej Santini Eichel was a true genius. His work is a precious part of not just Czech, but global cultural and intellectual heritage.